Good morning. So, what do you think? You like them okay? Good. Glad you like them. However, if I see you snoozing, I'm going to call on you to pray out loud in front of everybody. Glad you like them. So we are going to be in the book of Ezekiel today. I know we're still talking about Matthew, but we're going to take a quick break from Matthew and kind of capitalize on the way that Jesus was talking to his disciples and really challenging us about forsaking all, leaving everything behind, willing to separate from our families and our jobs and anything that is causing us to not be able to follow him effectively or efficiently. So we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. If you're not quite sure where that's at, if you'll find Psalms and Proverbs, head to your right. You'll find the book of Jeremiah pretty quick. And then right behind Jeremiah, you will find the book of Ezekiel. And we're going to be in chapter 47. That may have been a very long time since you've heard from the book of Ezekiel. It's a great book. And the chapter we're going to look at today, the first 12 or 13 verses, are pretty impactful. Years ago, especially with teenagers, I used to preach a sermon about being on the shore or being ankle deep or knee deep or waist deep or just being swept away by the currents of Christ. Never realized there was an actual passage that went with that, and that's what we're going to look at today. This is a passage that I actually used with our leadership for our leadership of our church to challenge them on a little bit different scale than what I'm going to challenge you today and share with you. But what a passage we're going to look at. And if you just rushed out this morning trying to get to church to pick your new seat out and to be able to sit in the new seats really quick and just happen to forget your scripture, I'm sure I can find somebody to bring a copy of it to you. So if you just lift your hand up nice and high, if you need a Bible to be able to follow along with us in Ezekiel, we'll be glad to put that in your hands. Awesome. Thank you so much. Just keep them up so everybody can see. Not everybody can see, but the guy that's passing them out can see. So we can get it to you. Anybody at all? Any hands all the way up front? Awesome. Cool. So here's the thought that I have for you today. And it's not really going to be anything earth-shattering, but I hope you will just let it sink in a little bit. Because it's a thought that we should all carry every day. This is not a one-and-done type thought. This is not a, well, I've prayed the prayer, it's all good, I can just live however I want. This is a thought that we need to consider that every day this needs to happen for us. And here it is. Living in the flow brings life. Living in the flow brings life. When we are in the flow of things, we feel like we're alive. When we are stagnant and on the side, we feel like we're dying because we're not a part of anything. That goes for normal life, no matter where we're at. I remember sitting the bench when I played basketball because I was horrible, but I was good enough to make the team, but not really good enough to play. And I didn't feel like I was in there until practice time when they had to use me, right? And even in the Christian life, there have been times where I've been on the sideline and I feel like, man, I'm not in it. I want to be in it. I want to be used. And the reality is, if I can just be in the flow, even within myself, I'm being used. I'm growing. There are times where he pulls me aside and says, hey, I need you to step up a little bit or fix some things or to grow a little bit or really just rest. But when I'm in the flow, when we are in the flow of Christ, we are most alive. That's where true life is all about. And we're going to see a passage today that absolutely exemplifies that. And we have been looking at Jesus' sermon and his teachings and all the things that he has said in the last 3 weeks with his challenge to the disciples have been very pointed and very hard. He's let them know, hey, you're going to be imprisoned. You're going to be mistreated. People aren't going to like you because of me. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. And the way that I am presenting new life, it's going to challenge all the way to the families. You were worried about being in prison, and I'm telling you, families are going to split because of my truth. And that's hard for us. Because we just want everybody to get along and everybody to be fine. And the reality is, truth divides. Truth divides. And we are going to be a church that's going to stand on truth, and it may cause us to have to divide from some things that maybe we've been comfortable with all our life, that we can tolerate, that we're okay, but the reality is it's not okay because we want to be in the flow. We want to be in his presence. We want to take that next step, whatever that looks like, to go deeper in his presence, to be swept away, to drown in his presence. Because when we lose our life, we actually find it. And living in the flow brings life. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 47, and let's see what Ezekiel has to share with us. Now, we are picking up in a vision that he is having, that Jesus or that God is walking with him and walking him through this thing. And he's allowing him to be at the temple to kind of see the temple away from the temple, if that makes sense. It's kind of that thing that we've talked about the last 2 weeks of, okay, I know that you see this, but I see more. And we can look around and see all kinds of things, and we see the way that our world is going, and God sees more. And if we can live in the flow and be in his presence, then our vision will change from what we see to what he sees, which will enable us to actually live this life out a little bit better. And so we pick up in the story of this vision, and Ezekiel is at the temple, and just so we understand how this works, they used to reroute some of the streams into the temple to where they would have running water to do what they needed to do. And at the base of the temple, there was a stream that actually ran out of it. And that is what we're going to be discussing and thinking about. But I want you to think about that picture. That out of the temple where the presence of God existed, there was a living stream that flowed out of it. Verse 47, chapter 47, verse 1. Then he, God, brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. This is very big details. Like, this is very detailed. This isn't some happenstance where I thought it was it. It's flowing from this direction to this direction. It's flowing from this spot to this spot. This is detailed. This is not something that's just a haphazard dream. This is a true vision that he's seeing that God is allowing him to view. Verse 2, he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around to the outside of the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. So now they are out of the temple, and he's literally watching this water flow from underneath the temple away from it. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. So they are in the stream walking, and they go about 1,000 cubits, which is about a quarter mile. And they are in ankle-deep water, so it's a very shallow creek, or crick, depending on where you grew up. Very shallow, but it's moving, it's flowing. They can feel the coolness of the water. They can feel the pull of the current. They notice it. Verse 4, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. So now they're going a little bit deeper. They've walked another about a quarter mile. And now it's gone from their ankles to their knees. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up tromping through creeks. That was the funnest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Love it. Nothing better. Nothing more refreshing to be in a creek. He goes on in verse 4. He says, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water came up to my waist. Now I'd be getting a little nervous. Ankle deep, knee deep, I can handle that. But up to my waist, now it's going to be a little bit of a battle. The pull is going to be a little bit longer than what I care for. I'm going to have to be more careful with my steps, pay attention to where I'm going. Probably the creek has gotten a little bit wider and it's deeper and it's probably flowing a little bit more powerfully. Verse 5, again, he measured 1,000. Now we've gone almost a mile. And it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. So picture this creek, this little spring of water coming out of the temple that is progressively moving forward and growing. It's getting deeper. It's gone from my ankles to my knees to my waist to the point now where if I get in, I'm going to have to swim, meaning it's over my head. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" What a question. It's like, dude, are you paying attention to what I'm doing here? Have you put the things together yet that this spring is flowing from the temple where I reside and it's growing and growing and growing and growing to the point where you will lose control in it? When he says, then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Now we know the seas are very salty, not good for drinking. But when this fresh water flows into the sea, it has the potential to heal it. I love that. I hope your mind is racing with imagery. I hope your mind is trying to put all this together to see where we're going with this, because it's very clear to me. Verse 9, and it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. There will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But watch this, but swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Marshes and swamps are stagnant. Nothing going in, nothing coming out. They are happy in their little spot, and they will turn to salt. Along the bank of the river, verse 12, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. Wow, what a passage. What a passage. That river that's flowing from that temple is the presence of God, and we can be in that presence. We can carry that flow wherever we go. And as we flow in his presence, we bring life to those around us. Not only do we help the trees grow, but we allow them to produce fruit. We bring healing medicine from the trees that we produce because of the presence that we are in Christ and his presence in us. And I love the imagery of as we continue to move forward in him, we should be getting deeper. We should continually be moving forward. We should get to the place where we are completely under his control, that we have drowned to our sin, we have drowned to ourself, and now we are in his presence going in whatever direction he so chooses. It is over our heads and we are all in. And I think about that. If each one of us could be that stream flowing from the presence of God, being swept away by his glory and by his magnificence and all the things that he is able to do. If we could be swept away by that, all of us flowing towards the world that is the salty sea that it is, when we get to it, we can heal it through his grace and mercy. That is what we are called to do. That is what we are supposed to be. That is what this is all about. But as many of us do in churches, we get really comfortable in our Christianity. We get stagnant in our growth, and we get swampy because we don't want to learn anything else. You can't teach me anything else. I already have got it figured out, and I'm happy where I'm at. That is a swamp. It is a stagnant place that will rot away. Nowhere in here does it say that this flowing river has stopping spots or resting spots or spots where you can get out and just quit. It is always flowing forward and it is always moving to the next step. And we as a church have got to stop stopping. I get that it's scary. I get that. Trust me. Every time he presents something in front of me that I have to make a hard choice, it scares the life out of me because I don't know what the water's going to look like on the other side. I don't know how far he's going to sweep me away. And I'm comfortable in my little eddy, my little safe spot, man. I know how to swim this spot. But that's not where God wants me to stay. God wants me to continually in my life deny myself, to let go of that stuff and go just a little bit further down the stream. Because he has other plans. And all I can see is the control that I'm losing. But what he sees are the salty seas that need to see a life changed by him. So let's unpack this a little bit. When we talk about the temple, there's two things that we really need to see. One, that the source of the river is God. The source of the river is always God. The source of our strength, the source of our joy, the source of our growth, the source of our knowledge is always God. It's always being in his presence. And it begins small. Please don't try to just take it all in and be this massive thing for God. Start small. You may not be able to pray out loud in front of people, but you can pray to him by yourself. You don't even have to say it out loud. You can just talk to him in your head. I do it all the time. I have the greatest conversations in my head. Most of the arguments I lose, still. But start small. How did this stream start out? Did it start out under out of control and where you had to swim? No, it was his ankles. There's nothing wrong with that. I encourage you, start there. So many times, especially in the world that we live in, we just want it all right now. It's not how it works. Little bits. I would much rather take little bits and make sure they are solid in me first before I move to the next thing. And we are so impatient. We are so, I just want it now. It's not how it works. There's a process, and we've got to trust it. Because God knows what's best for us. And this stream starts with him. When we talk about the river, this river that's flowing out from the temple, it is a constant flow. If you are stagnant, it's not the fault of the river. It's not God's fault. It's not that God's not talking to you either. I get tired of hearing that. Well, I'm not hearing from God. Well, you might not be listening. Or maybe you did hear a long time ago and you weren't willing to do what he challenged you to do. So maybe he's waiting you to fix that first before he continues to work with you. Because you got stagnant. You got a little swampy. Which you got a little salty because of that. See how it works? It's a constant flow. This thing's always moving. Always moving. And you know, you've seen rivers. There are some slow spots. And there are some rough spots. But it's always moving. Whether you can tell that it's moving or not, it's not the point. Because the reality is that river is always moving. It always flows in one direction. Always flows towards him. You think about the way that this stream started. It started ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, to the point at which we have to swim. That's flowing towards him. And he's taking us into a position to be used by him. But the only way that we can get to the salty sea to be used by him is we've got to graduate from the ankle deep water to get to the knee deep water. And then once we get to the knee deep water, we've got to graduate from that to get to the waist deep water, all the way to the point where we are just swept away by his graciousness. That's how it works. And again, I know that's scary. Trust me. I get it. But can I just be a voice of reason? Can I be a cheerleader for you this morning? When you graduate from each step, it gets better. What you experience from him is amazing. It's not even all the blessings. Just the sheer amount of presence in your life is worth it all. The joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. Yes, please. I want all that. You don't have to give me another thing out there. You satisfy that longing within me, and I'm good. Can you say that? Can you be at a place where you're okay if you get no other blessing, physical blessing on this earth, but your spiritual well-being is constantly moving and grooving and being in the flow, and you're experiencing new life within you? Can you be okay that that might be it? Again, it's what we see versus what he sees. It's our will against his will. Notice not one time on those two things did I mention Satan at all. We've kind of graduated past that for the most part. Now it's us fighting him. I don't need Satan's help. I'm stubborn within my own right. I do just fine with that. And it is a battle of my will versus God's will. And I love, when we talk about this river, notice that it stays in its boundaries. I believe wholeheartedly that we as believers could do better with our boundaries. When we stay within the presence of God and the boundaries of this stream, we are far more successful. It's when we branch out and try to create our own little tributaries and try to redirect the flow of Christ, that's when we get in trouble. That's when they stop and they deadened off and we end up swampy. Stay in the flow, man. Stop trying to make it something that it's not. Trying to make it what you want it to be rather than this is what it is. Either you're in it or you're not. Stay within the boundaries. And the progression, again, it's always moving forward. It's always moving forward and it always has the goal in sight. And the goal in sight is not getting that next big raise. It's not getting that next big promotion. It's not scoring that next big goal or whatever you want to put in there. It's always to please and honor and glorify God. That's our goal. It's the whole reason that I'm here. It's the whole reason that you're here. Our goal is to bring glory and honor and attention to the one that created us. That's why we're here. The healing. Oh my. Man, if we could ever get this concept in our head. And I'm not talking about physical healing. Obviously, God is more than able to do that. But I'm more concerned about spiritual healing. Again, we see the physical, he sees the spiritual. And we've got to change our viewpoint from what we see to what he sees. And the biggest need that we have is not our physical healing, it is our spiritual healing. And the only way that we can have true spiritual healing is to be in this flow. It's to be in his presence. It's to allow this river to sweep us away from the next stage to the next. That's where the true healing comes from. And wherever this river flows and whatever it touches, it heals. Think about it. It talked about it enhances the trees where they can grow great fruit and its leaves are healing for people. Think about this. The people that you work with, I will probably never ever have a shot at talking with them or sharing the gospel with them. That's just the reality of it. But you will. And you may never have to say a word to them, but simply live your life in this flow and allow the glory of God to exude out of you that will do something in their heart and in their life. It may present an opportunity for them to ask questions as to why you're so different. Why are you so joyous all the time? Why do you never snap like everybody else does? And that is your opportunity to say, well, let me tell you about where I live. You don't have to know all the right answers. You don't even have to know all the right scriptures. You can tell your testimony of what your God is doing in your life. And sometimes that's enough. Then if you need help, I'll swoop in and save the day. But you know what? I would rather you do it. I would much rather you do it. I get my shot on Sunday mornings. It's time you start taking yours. The results, spiritual health. Can I just pause right here on this one? Because this one's tricky for us. Because we think that as long as I'm healthy physically, all's good. But the reality is, spiritual health actually helps our physical health. When I am truly joyful and I am worried about God and not the drama that's in my life, it actually can relax me. It can bring me to a place of less anxiety. But I have to be willing to address the hard stuff. I have to be willing that in this flow, God's going to reveal things. He's going to allow some of those rocks to turn over that we have placed nice and neat in our riverbed, and he's going to say, that one's got to go. And we're going to say, no, I like the way the current goes around that. I'm good with that. And he says, no, I need it to flow better. And the only way that you can have spiritual health is to deal with those things that you never want to deal with. Again, painful, hard, awful, terrible. That sounds like a good cheerleader, right? But the reward on the other side? Come on. So much better than what you're living in right now. this anxiety and anguish and imprisonment. You're in a swamp and it's drying you up. Man, let that flow get in there and wreak havoc on that swamp. Let it get in there and purify that area that has become abscessed in your life. Let God do what only God can do. But the only way that can happen is to be in this flow and allow Him to sweep in and save the day and do what only He can do. It encourages growth. And then ultimately, there's true joy that comes from that. Not happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is the thing that shows on your face. But joy comes from deep within. And joy is untouchable. Because the joy does not come from this world. It comes from a source that cannot be moved. But let's talk about the stagnant for a minute. Because I've talked the last two or three weeks that we're going to be having a salvation sermon, and it's coming in just about 5 minutes. And most of you believers are just going to say, you know what? That's really for those that aren't believing. Maybe not. It saddens me to listen to conversations of people saying, you know what? I've done all that I can do. I've served before. I'm done. Please be careful with that. That is the start of a stagnant pool. That is the start of a swampy life. I've said it before, and I will continue to say it as long as I stand on this page. If you're not dead yet, God is not done with you. You have a wealth of life experience that you can be sharing. But it's also concerning to me that sometimes, as we sit in our nice new seats, we're here and we're existing, but we're in really poor spiritual health. We are so stagnant in our lives that we just continue to do the same old thing over and over and over and expecting something different to happen. That's insanity. The only way to have true spiritual health is to allow God to examine what we're doing and to reveal to us what needs to be done differently. And then, just because He reveals it doesn't mean all is fixed. You've got to have the courage to say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I see it. I don't know how to fix that, but I'm going to trust you to help me. It gets very frustrating sometimes, just so you know. When I hear the conversations of, man, that was a great sermon. But I don't know that I can do that. It breaks my heart when I hear people say, it's the way I've always done it. It worked out so far. From the front of the temple, it faced east, and the water was flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. And they progressed from the ankle deep to the knee deep to the waist deep to where they're all in. That is not someone who is continuing to do it the way that they've always done it. I want you to think about that. If I try to walk in waist-deep water the way that I walk in ankle-deep water, it's not going to work. And if I try to walk in waist-deep water, ankle-deep water the way that I walk in waist-deep water, that's not going to work. I've got to do it however God has set it up for me right here, right now, and experience all that He has for me right here, right now, in preparation for the next step. If I try to jump the gun or remain where I've always been, I'm messing up the flow. You see, jumping into the flow is essentially saying, I don't want to have control anymore. I'm going to trust you. And that is where it gets difficult for all of us. You know, we throw out the platitudes of, yeah, I know God's in control. Oh, I trust Jesus. Do you? Do you really? And I want you to seriously contemplate that. Do you really believe that God's got you? Do you really believe that you trust Him with everything? Everything. All of it. Not the easy stuff. Not the stuff that you gave up a long time ago. I'm talking about the things right now that He's bringing to your mind. That He's saying, you say you trust me, but not on this. You say you believe that I've got it, but not on this. Listen, it's time to get real about this. Get off the fence. Get out of the stagnant and the swampy area. Let's get back in the flow and allow God, His Spirit, to do what only He can do. You're not going to be alone in this. Because as your river flows, there are other hundreds of thousands of rivers flowing in the same direction. And together, as the global church, man, what we could do. But it starts with you. Living in the flow brings life. You want to have life? You want to be in the place where you can experience everything that you've ever heard about? You got to be in the flow. So the question we have to ask is, where do we start? Where do we start? So let's just pretend we have never heard any of this. And let's start and just simplify it as much as we can. And here's where it starts. We are in great need. Would you agree with that? We all have a need that needs to be filled deep down. We're maybe not quite sure what that is, but we've all felt that some way, somehow. That there was something missing, something that I've tried to put all this other stuff in, and it's just not connecting right. And I know that I have a need. And what is that need? It's because of our sin. If we're just going to name it as it is in a general form, it's because of our sin. And our sin puts us in a place that makes us uncomfortable, uneasy, unsettled. That we're trying to figure out what in the world that we can pull out of the world to fix this unsettled feeling within us. And the reality is there's nothing. Not one thing is going to bring peace to that. You've already tried it. You've bought this and you've bought that and you've moved here and you've done this. And it still exists. And here's why. Paul says it best, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned and we fall short. We can't get to heaven on our own. It's not possible. And that's the ultimate. We want that peace. We want that joy. But we can't have it as long as sin exists and we are continuing to practice sin in our lives. But there is a solution. Now again, many of you have been in church all your life, but pretend that you've never heard this. First time in your life. There's a solution. His name is Jesus. Paul said, for the wages of sin is death. That's a big statement. Now, this is not a paycheck that we get at the end of our life. This is a consequence or reward, a consequence of eternal separation from eternal God, and we will spend eternity in hell where there will be eternal torment. And that torment can be fire. It can be utter darkness. It can be hearing everybody else. But just the feeling alone of being eternally separated from the one that created you, that your soul has longed for all its life. That is the eternal separation. That is the damnation that we will get if we do not accept Christ. Does not sound fun to me, by the way. Does not sound worth me experimenting and doing whatever I want in this world and then spending eternity separated from the one that loved me most and loved me best. But the gift of God, wait, a gift? Yes, a gift. You don't have to earn it. You can't buy it. There's no amount of church attendance that you can do, no amount of tithe that you can pay, no amount of church service that you can perform. There's no amount of sermons that I can preach that I get salvation because of it. Because it's a gift. It is freely given. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, if he would have just stopped at the point of in Christ Jesus, we would have got that. But notice what he says. He throws that tag on there, our Lord. That's a big statement. Because there's lots of people that believe that God exists. There's lots of people that believe that Jesus was here and that he died. But the reality is, the difference between just believing that he was here and believing that he is our Lord is a monstrous distance between the two. It's a big difference. Because for me to accept this free gift, I've got to confess that he is Lord of my life, meaning that I've started this journey of this ankle-deep water and I'm moving as fast and as efficiently as I possibly can to be swept away by him with everything. That's the free gift. That he takes you where you need to go. That he invigorates you. That he encourages you. He empowers you. He gives you everything that you need to be successful for him. And that's the free gift that he's offering you. Not just the bonus of going to heaven, but the life right now that we can have in his presence every day. And it begins with this. Confession and belief are the requirements to begin. That's how it all starts. Confession and belief. He says it best in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Woohoo! That's good stuff, man. Every one of us that are believers should have shouted on that one. Seriously. That all I've got to do is believe in my heart and in my mind that Jesus really died for my sins, he was really dead, and that God raised him from the dead. I just got to believe that. As hard and as weird and as extraordinary as that is, if I simply believe that, and then I confess, I say out loud, I'm not ashamed, I talk to people about it, and I live it with my life, that Jesus is Lord of my life. If I do those two things, that's it. Yes, that's it. You will be saved. When the time comes, if we endure to the end and we stand before God and he says, hey, you did a good job. I watched you confess every opportunity you had. I watched your belief in your heart continue to grow. I watched you go from ankle deep to being swept away. And I'm going to save you right here, right now. Wow. Man, that's good. For with the heart, with your heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made known unto salvation. Amen and amen. That's it. Now you're thinking, wait, what's the catch? There's no catch. At this point, you are denying yourself, and you are taking on the righteousness of Christ, which, here's the catch, means we've got to live a little bit differently from here on out. But if you truly understand what you've been saved from and what you've been saved to, that will not be an issue for you. Because now you've started your little ankle-deep trek. And you're going to experience some cool stuff. You're going to feel the cool water. You may see some little froggies and salamanders popping around, watching the trees pop up. But then as you continue to grow, God's going to continue to pull you forward, and he's going to pull you into that knee-deep water. Now, that might be a little scary for some of you. You might start feeling it hit the back of your legs, but you're going to continue to move forward as it flows. And there are going to be portions where it's super still, but still moving, and then portions where it's a little bit rockier. But then you're going to move into that waist-deep water. And now it's going to start getting interesting. It's going to get a little more fun. Because you see down the lane that it's going to be even deeper. And as you move into that era of completely abandoning everything that you've ever wanted to do, all of your heart's desires, all of your sin, and you are swept away into the full control of the Spirit of God, now you see the goal. The goal was not just to save you. The goal was to use you to be able to influence others and to save those that are in that salty sea that are drowning every single day. This life is bigger than you. This decision is bigger than you've ever considered. The relationship begins and continues through faith. And faith is this: forsaking all, I trust him. It's that simple. This whole relationship with God is based on faith. It's based on trusting something that I cannot see, but I know that I can believe in. It's trusting in something that I can't taste or touch, but in my heart I can feel it and I can taste and see that the Lord is absolutely good. And I must forsake all. Does that mean everything right up front? For some of us, yes. There are things we should forsake immediately today. But for some of us, it's going to take some time, because that's not going to come until the waist deep water. May not come until we make that transition from the waist deep to just swimming, that we completely abandon everything. But that's what this faith journey is all about. That's what the moving stream is all about. It's all about continuing to grow and go deeper in God. So the question you have to ask yourself this morning is, where are you? Where are you? Where are you in this whole journey? Are you at the beginning? Are you still standing in the temple? You're looking at that flow thinking, I'm not quite sure yet. But what you're sharing with me this morning is very intriguing, and I'm interested. Great. That's all I ask. If you're interested, stay interested and keep moving forward. Why don't you walk outside the temple today? And at least step to the banks of the stream and say, okay, God, I'm interested to see what this looks like. And I'm willing to hear from you, and I'm willing to see what you have to offer. Some of us are already in the ankle deep water. We've already made that choice. We've made that decision to follow God, but we have been stagnant in our spots. We haven't moved in years. My challenge to you this morning is, decide where you're at and see where you need to go and start moving that direction. Stop playing the game that I've gone as far as I can go. This never ends. It is always flowing. You're never done. And then lastly, my question really is, are you stagnant this morning? Have you gotten to such a comfortable spot that you're not interested in doing anything else ever again? And you're feeling the stagnation grow. You can feel that, trust me. The saltiness is coming on. You feel like you're drying up. Well, guess what? There's hope. God has a big excavator and can dig trenches and allow that new flow to get right back into that swamp and clean it out. And redirect you right back into that flow and keep you going. That's the God you serve. That's the God that you say you trust. That's the God that you claim you're allowing him to be Lord of your life. Well, let's stop talking the game and let's actually do it. Can we do it this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed. I know it's going to be quiet and awkward, and that's okay. Just sometimes being in the quiet is good. This morning, maybe you've never, ever, ever decided to follow Jesus. Maybe that's all new to you. It's new conversation, new language. But you see this morning that you're not even in the flow yet. You haven't entered into this river. And maybe this morning you are ready to abandon all. You know that that may cost you family members, it may cost you other things, but you see this morning the value of going after God and being in his flow. Here's what I would ask you to do. If that is you this morning and you know you are ready to start a relationship with him, here's what I would ask you to do. Just repeat this prayer in your mind this morning. God, I hear you. I feel what you're doing in my heart and in my life. And this morning, I want to recognize that I need you. My sin is too much for me. But I recognize that Jesus has already won the battle. I ask that you forgive me of my sins. And I want to ask you to be Lord of my life. Thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you for your willingness to lead me. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I just want you to know that you just started into the ankle deep water. And if that's you this morning, would you be willing to at least look at me? So I can see your face. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Amen. Would you be willing to look at me so I can see? Amen. 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 Appreciate that. Last question for you is this. After the service, would you please come talk to Charlie or I? We don't want this just to be an empty prayer or an empty opportunity. We want to connect with you, because this is a big choice. This is a big decision. You're going to need people to be around you. And we want to be around you, and we want to connect you with other people as well. So would you have the courage to come and just share with us, hey, I prayed that prayer today. Again, we will not embarrass you, I promise. Maybe this morning you've been saved a long time. This is old hat to you. This is no big deal. But the reality is, it is a big deal. And maybe you need to take that next step and go a little deeper. Would you be willing to pray something like this? God, I hear you this morning. I feel you're moving in my life. And I know I need to move forward a little bit in this flow. Would you give me the courage to do that? Will you help me to see the areas that I need to work on? And give me the courage to turn them over to you. For you that just prayed that prayer, I want you to know that when we pray prayers in sincerity, God absolutely swoops in. And I want you to know that our offices are always open. We will be happy to sit and talk with you, work through things with you. And if that was you this morning, you know you need to take that next step. Would you just simply lift your hand so we can be praying for you this week? Amen. Appreciate those hands. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you. And maybe this morning you know you're stagnant. You've been stagnant for a long time. You just weren't quite sure what it was. Would you pray this prayer with me? God, I hear you. I'm feeling it. I get it. But God, I appreciate you showing up this morning and calling my attention to my stagnation. But Lord, I need your help to clean out this salty life that I've got. God, I admit that this was my problem, that I created this, and I'm resubmitting to you for you to do your work. If that was you this morning, again, stagnation can be caused by multiple different things, and we are here to help you to work through those things with you. We do not mind getting in the swamps with you. That's why we're here. But we can't help you if you don't come talk to us. If that was you this morning, would you lift your hand so I can be praying for you as well? Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Gosh, you guys are amazing. Thank you. God, I appreciate the way that you move and the way that you do things. I know it's quiet and awkward, but Lord, there is honestly comfort in the quiet. Because I know that you are doing work today. Lord, lots of hands that were raised in knowing they need to take the next step and knowing that they are just stagnant. And God, I pray that you would give them the courage to seek someone out to work with them. Continue to reveal to them, as they have asked, the things and the areas that they need to step up with or to let go of, so that you can clean that stuff out, so that they can be in the flow and experience life the way that we were meant to experience it. But God, there were some this morning that trusted in you for the first time, or maybe for the second time. But Lord, they are making it real today. They realize that they need you. For those that accepted you and are trusting in you and confessing that they want you to be Lord of their life, I pray that you would help them to do that. Give them the courage to seek one of us out, or a friend out, or someone that they know is a strong believer that can walk with them and mentor them and get them in a better position to experience you. God, thank you that they are willing to step into the flow, at least in the ankle-deep water, and experience all that you have for them. Thank you for the way that your people listen. Thank you for the way that they respond. Thank you, most of all, for your Spirit and how he moves and grooves and connects and fixes. I am so appreciative of that. Thanks for all that you do. Continue to work in our hearts. Continue to move us in your direction and keep us in the flow. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys listen so well. Seriously, it is an absolute privilege and joy to talk to you guys every Sunday morning. You guys make it easy. God bless you. We are always here. Please feel free to come talk to us. Have a great day.